For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray for us this morning that you would speak to us through your word, that we would walk out changed because of the speaking of your word. So Lord, bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this world, there are a lot of things to worry about. It seems like in this past week, those things have doubled, tripled, quadrupled, if you've been watching the news. It's easy to worry about the next disease or where we're going to find our next roll of toilet paper. It's easy to worry about things like money, paying the bills, being on top of them. It's easy to worry about things like our health. There are a lot of things that the world tells us we need to worry about. The world tells us life is short, therefore worry about every second of it because it's very limited. So the world worries about all kinds of things. And if you couldn't tell from the reading of this passage, that's exactly what Jesus is addressing today. So let's look at verse 25. Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you," and some of your translations might say, "Therefore, I say to you." And a question we have to ask whenever we come across that word therefore is, what is the therefore, therefore? Jesus is referring back to what he had previously said about storing up treasures. He says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus tells us the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Because you cannot serve both God and wealth, therefore, for this reason, I say to you, don't worry about your life. So, Jesus had just finished telling them, don't worry about money. And isn't that the number one thing that so many people worry about? Money. It's the currency for everything in this world. We judge each other by how much money we have or don't have. We are so concerned with how much money we might be making. Money is how we get anything. It seems everyone is always saying that money can't buy happiness, but that's sure not how we act, is it? And Jesus is telling the listeners, don't trust in money. He says, money corrupts. Money, it will eventually go away. It will eventually be destroyed. Money doesn't last forever. When you die, your bank account doesn't follow you to the grave. You cannot take that with you. Money goes away. Possessions go away. Can any of us here say that we still have the same toys that we had when we were children? Probably not. They have probably, well, toys were made a little bit better back then, but today toys last maybe a couple years and then it's thrown into the trash. Things don't last very long. Who's driving the same car that they got in high school or when they first went to college? Probably no one. Cars, they go away. They have to be replaced. And that's the material world. Everything will eventually be destroyed. Nothing lasts forever. So money doesn't last forever. Don't store these things up because these things will eventually be destroyed. Not only that, but they can bring about spiritual blindness. We can be so concerned with finding money, with making money, that we take our eye off of other things, that we are blinded to what's really important in this world because we're so focused with the number attached to our bank account, the number that we put all of our value in. So money can blind us spiritually, and we cannot serve both God and money at the same time. And Jesus makes it very plain, we cannot have two masters. God does not share his servants. We are not part-time Christians. We're not part-time followers of Christ. We cannot serve two masters. And imagine, this is radical to the world today. This would have been radical to Jesus' audience now. They're sitting there thinking, what in the world? Don't worry about money. Doesn't he know we need money? Doesn't he know that that's how the world runs, is money? I need money to buy food. I need money to buy clothes. I need money for all these things that I'm doing. And that might be going through the minds of the audience at this point. And then Jesus continues, therefore, because you're not to worry about money, because you're not to trust in these things, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life. Don't be worried about food. Don't be worried about clothing. Take it a step further. Don't worry about simply money, but don't worry about these basic necessities of life that everyone needs to live. Now, today we might not worry so much about food. That's taken for granted. We have so many other things to worry about, things that people call first world problems. We're worried about finding toilet paper, something that didn't even exist in Jesus' day. The people living in Jesus' day, had to scrounge every single day for food. Their entire day was devoted to gathering enough food to simply survive. And Jesus is telling them, don't worry about that. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothing. Clothing was incredibly valuable to them. We see that even at the cross where Roman soldiers are playing dice for Jesus' bloody, stained garments. You know, something that we would throw away, right? If our clothes are ruined, what do? We throw them away and we go buy new ones. Clothes are taken for granted. Not in those days. Clothes were extremely valuable. And Jesus says, no, don't worry about those either. Water, we can just turn on the tap and we get water, another given. They had to find clean sources of water. They had to carry water to their house. They couldn't just turn the tap on. Jesus says, oh, don't worry about that either. Don't worry about your life as to what you eat or what you drink, nor for your body as to what you are to put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Aren't we made for more than just seeking these things that keep us alive? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth so much more than they? Jesus says, don't worry about these things, because God is your Father. Look at how he takes care of the rest of creation. And if God is your Father, if you are an image bearer, if you are his servant, and that's what he says in the verse prior, you cannot serve God and wealth, therefore serve God. If God is your master and you are his slave, if God is your Father, he will take care of you. And want to know how I know that? Look at the birds. You don't see them sowing seeds. You don't see them going out at harvest time to collect their crops. You don't see them storing things into little bird barns. But they're still fed somehow. Birds don't have fast food restaurants to go to. They don't have grocery stores. But God still takes care of them. Isn't that an amazing thing? They're not fretting. They still have time to sing. If God takes care of the birds, how much more will he take care of you? God is your Father. Therefore, don't worry. Jesus, throughout this passage, talks about worrying. He tells us not to worry so many times. How many here are worriers? Are there big worriers here? Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Now, those married to worriers or who know worriers, if you tell them don't worry once, do they say, oh, okay, perfect, I'm done? No. We have to tell worriers to not worry so many times, and that's what Jesus does throughout this passage. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry because of this. Do not worry because of that. Do not worry. And he repeats it so many times. Worrying is not something that is seen as positive by Jesus. In fact, worrying is quite sinful. Because what do we do when we worry? When we're worrying, what it boils down to, worry, is ultimately not trusting in God, not trusting in God's provision. When we worry, we do not trust in God's wisdom and knowing what he is doing in our lives. When we worry, we're not trusting God's love for caring for us and for our needs. We have it in the back of our mind, oh, I don't know if God's going to take care of me. And we're constantly worried about that. And we're not trusting in God's power to provide for those needs. And that's a big one. We might easily say, oh yes, God loves me, God takes care of me, but I don't know if God's going to be able to follow through and give me what I need. I don't know if God's going to be able to honor what he has said here. Worry is ultimately the sin of not trusting God, and that is why Jesus tells us, do not worry, be anxious for nothing. Life is more than what we do with our bodies. And isn't the world obsessed with those things? As I said before, the world sees life as a very limited thing. So worry about everything that we surround our bodies with. Living as long as you can, wearing the latest fashion, whatever it may be. The entire world is focused on those things. And Jesus says, don't worry about them. Instead, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry. Your Heavenly Father feeds them. A good master provides for the needs of his servants. If you're someone's servant, you aren't required to go out and buy the tools that you are to serve your master with. Your master provides you with those things. You're not required to go find your own food. Your master provides you with those things. Why? So you are better fit to serve your master. Your master doesn't want you worrying about those basic necessities. He takes care of them for you. So if God takes care of the birds of the air, we should surely expect God to meet our needs also. And why is that? Because we are so much more valuable than birds. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the rulers over that. We are to rule over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field. God provides for them. Do we think that God will not provide for us also? We're far more valuable than the birds. Matthew 10:31 says, God is not unaware of a single bird that falls to the ground. As David Glock, whom some of you might know, says, God attends the funerals of sparrows. So if God is concerned even for the small birds, how much more concerned for us would he be? One commentator says this, he who is fully convinced that the author of our life has an intimate knowledge of our condition, he will entertain no doubt that he will make abundant provision for our wants. Whenever we are seized by fear or anxiety about food, let us remember that God will take care of the life which he gave us. God is the one who gave us life. He will also sustain that life, and he will do that through practical means. He will take care of us. So do not worry, because God is our Father, because he will take care of us. Don't worry about the future, because it's useless to do that. If we read verses 27 through 30, Jesus says this, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry about the future, because it is worthless. Which one of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to their lives? Which one of you, by worrying, can add a single hair to your heads?" In fact, worrying can remove quite a few hairs from your heads. So worrying doesn't do anything. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It might keep you busy, but you're not going to get anywhere too quick. It's also like revving a car. You know, it's loud, it consumes all kinds of energy, but it doesn't go anywhere. So worrying about the future is useless. Our worry will not do anything. God says he has ordained all the days of our lives. If we turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, if we read Psalm 139, verse 16, David says this, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." So before we're even born, God knows our days. He has ordained them. He has written them down. God knows the span of our lives. He knows and he decides when we live and when we die. So is worrying going to add any more time to that? Our lives belong to God. Why are we concerned about what God does with his property? Us worrying will not add a single day to our lives because God has ordained our days. How can we expect to worry our future needs into existence? And that's what we do when we worry. We are looking ahead into the future, and we're thinking, I'm going to need this, I'm going to need that, I'm going to need to take care of this. And we're hoping by worrying that somehow these things we're worried about will just sort themselves out. Can a farmer worry the clouds into raining? There are plenty of farmers here, I'm sure. Now, do you sit there on a sunny day after the crops are planted and it's dry, the ground is dry, and do you sit there, oh man, if I worry enough, maybe the clouds will come, maybe we'll get the rain and things will be taken care of? Does that worry do anything? No, worry doesn't bring anything into existence. Can a man worry himself into better health? No, probably not. Typically, it's the opposite. Like I said before, you can worry and the hairs might fall off your head, but you're never going to worry a hair to grow into your head. So can we worry ourselves into better health? No. Can we worry ourselves to a longer life? No. Can we worry reality to come into being? No. We cannot do that. Instead, what we're to do is to trust in God's provision. And we see that again with the illustration of the lilies. God's provision for the fields is much greater than anything that we can provide for ourselves. He says, "Why are you worried about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. They do not toil, nor do they spin. There's no garment factories sewing these flowers together. Instead, they simply grow. God simply provides the fields with these flowers." And what does Jesus say? "I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, dressed as one of these." Now we think of Solomon, the richest man in the world. Probably never was there a more glorious earthly king than Solomon. He had all the clothing, all the gold, all the jewelry he could possibly want. In his day, silver was worthless. He was so wealthy. And he would dress himself in ornate robes, looking absolutely beautiful. And what does Jesus say? Not even Solomon in all his glory can make something as beautiful as this lily of the field. And those simply grow. If we took a microscope to one of Solomon's robes, and then we took a microscope to a lily, we're going to zoom into Solomon's robes, and we're just going to see material thrown together. It's not really detailed, but if you take a microscope and put it to a flower, there's infinite beauty and glory to be seen there. And is it from human hands that flower is designed and fashioned? No. God grows the flowers of the fields. They're there for a day, and they're collected, and they're thrown into the furnace. So if God put so much beauty, so much detail into clothing the fields, how much more will he care for us, the rulers of those fields? God is the one who takes care of us. If God provides for the clothing for the fields, how much more will he provide for us? God clothed our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they were in need of clothing. They recognized that they were naked and they were ashamed. In their sin, they tried to hide from God. And what does God do? He provides for them. He provides our first parents with their first clothing. Do not worry, because it is also uncharacteristic of our faith. And that's what Jesus says here. You are worrying like this? You of little faith? Do not worry then, thinking, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. And that's right. The Gentiles eagerly seek these things. Worry stems from a lack of faith in God and his promises. We have a God that has promised to provide for all these things. The world does not recognize that God. They do not recognize God's provision. So they are constantly worried about providing for themselves. Is that not right? The Gentiles in Jesus' day, the unbelievers of Jesus' day, are not that much different from the unbelievers in our day in those regards. If we trust God for our salvation, should we not also trust him for every other aspect of our existence? We place our eternal souls in the hands of God's, but we do not trust God with our own physical needs. There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect there, isn't there? God knows what we need to survive. We should not live our lives worrying about where the next meal will come from, or how we might clothe ourselves, or how we're going to take care of the bills, or how we're going to get to where we need to go. We should not sit there worrying about things like that, because that is how the rest of the world lives. That is how a godless world lives. There is no, for them, from their perspective, there is no God in heaven looking down, waiting to take care of their needs. There's no God that cares for them and loves them. It's just themselves. That's how the Gentiles live, but oh, how we often follow in those same footsteps when we worry. God knows what we need to survive, and that's what he says. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. God is the one who designed us. God is the one who made us. We belong to God. He knows what we need to live. He knows what we need to survive. A man who designs a vehicle knows exactly what type of fuel that vehicle needs, knows exactly the tune-ups that vehicle will need, knows exactly what type of oil and how much oil that vehicle requires. Why? Because he made that vehicle. If God created us, he knows exactly what we need, and he will provide for us exactly what we need. God is powerful enough to take care of us. God loves us, and he has promised to take care of us. Worldly people live for their bodies, and we know that simply by looking at advertisements. What do we see? Most advertisements are geared towards money, health or food or experiences, things like that. We see coupons and advertisements for saving money so you can spend more of that money. All kinds of medicine promising better lives, promising for you to live longer. This is what the world has to offer. Jewelry, clothing, because that's what the world runs on. That's all there is to the world for so much of the world. But God says, no, I know what you need. I will provide you with what you need. You do not need to worry about those things because God is our Father. He will take care of us. So do not live like the world. Do not walk like the world. We're servants of the Father on high. He will take care of his servants. So do not worry about these things. The world lives to make enough to survive because they have no God in heaven to provide for them, or they do not trust that God in heaven will provide for them. In the days of Jesus, pagan gods often demanded sacrifices of goods rather than providing them. And isn't that what it is? Pagan gods demand a sacrifice so that they won't come and destroy the society. Any other god says, I need you to give me this. I need you to provide this for me. Where our God says, I will provide this for you. And what a greater picture. Is there any greater picture than the provision of the Son for our sins? Where any other religion demands that we somehow must atone for them, God says, no, I've even provided that. The one thing you could not possibly provide for yourselves, I give you atonement for sin. Our day, people have become self-reliant because they do not believe that God can do anything, let alone provide for their needs. So what must they rely on? They must rely on themselves. And no matter how much the horrible thing about worry is, no matter how much we do it, we will never feel secure. The thing with material possessions is, no matter how much we gather, we will never have enough. If we're relying simply on our own means, if we're relying on our own powers to provide for ourselves, to take care of ourselves, there will never be enough. There are always what-if scenarios that we worry about. We think that if we simply had X amount of dollars in the bank account, that's when I can stop worrying. And we finally reach that. And life is then carefree. We don't have to worry about anything, right? No, because, well, what if this happens and I don't have enough to cover it? Oh, that number was too low. I need to keep going. And we keep going. We keep worrying. It's an endless cycle. Why? Because we constantly are relying on ourselves rather than our God who has promised to take care of us. We do not trust that God will take care of us. We might say we do, but our actions say otherwise. We live like the pagans. And Jesus says, this is how they live, and that is not how you are to live. Because life is more than clothing. Jesus says, don't even worry about your life. Life will go on for a very long time, even after we die. We spend so much time worrying about the first 80, 90 years of eternity, and we completely forget the eternity that comes afterwards. An illustration I saw at one point was a man held out a rope, and on the rope there was a little piece of tape. And he said, let's say that that rope extends all the way into eternity, and this little piece of tape is our lifetime here on earth. And we spend the first 70% of that life worrying about a comfortable 30% at the end of it. And isn't that what the world says? Oof, got to be prepared for retirement. You make sure you live like no other so you can live like no other once you're old and you can no longer enjoy the experiences that young people do because hey, you're getting old. It happens because that's all life is. It's very short, very limited to the world's perspective. But we have eternal life ahead of us. So why are we so worried about this tiny little snippet of it? Eternity is a very long time. And within the first few years of eternity, being in the Lord's presence, I'm sure we'll have forgotten just about everything that this very temporary life here on earth has to offer. Worry will never help our case. In fact, worrying can ultimately lead to the destruction of many people. And Jesus warns us about that in Matthew chapter 13. And if we turn there, Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower. And we've all heard it. A sower goes out and he casts seeds. And he's explaining the seed that's sown among the thorns. The seed is the gospel. And Jesus says, "And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." What a horrific fate for those who have heard the word, who have affirmed the word, who at one point may have trusted, but the worries of the world, they never stop. They never cease. We might take care of one of those worries, but there are 10 more to follow it. And we can easily be consumed by the things of this world. Isn't that why Jesus is constantly warning us against the things of this world? They'll trap us. We'll be ensnared. And what happened to the one whom is in the thorns? Well, the worries of the world come, the deceitfulness of wealth, and that seed is choked out. And they don't have the eternity to look forward to that we do. One example of a worrier in the New Testament, a worrier, not a warrior, is the Apostle Peter. Peter is many things, but I think one label for him that might be appropriate is the worrying apostle. And we see this constantly throughout Peter's life. We see when Jesus is walking on the water, Peter has the courage to say, "Lord, if it's you, call out to me and I'll walk out on the water." And the Lord does so. And Peter, he walks out on the water, so we can give him props for that faith. But before too long, he's looking around him. He says, "Oh no, those are some pretty high waves, and that water down below me is really deep. And what is holding me up? I have no idea." And he starts to sink. He's falling in the water when Jesus is right here next to him. He's already walked on the water. Jesus has already shown him that. Oh, but the world, he was worried. And he falls into the water and he sinks. But Jesus is there to take him. We see that Peter is worried about losing Jesus. We remember shortly after Peter declared, "Jesus is the Christ." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, for recognizing this." And from that point on, Jesus started to teach the apostles, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be executed. In 3 days, I'll rise again." What does Peter do? He takes Jesus aside and he says, "No, Jesus, no, God forbid that you do this. You can't do that. You can't go and die." And Jesus says, "Peter, you're speaking from Satan right now." Peter, he was worried because, oh no, if we lose our master, well, what are we to do? They always seem to miss the part about him rising in 3 days. Peter was worried when Jesus was arrested. And we all know the story. He whips out a sword, right, to defend his master. He wasn't a great warrior. He missed the guy's head and just got his ear. And what happens after that? This man who was boasting, "Oh, Lord, I'll go to the cross with you. I will die with you, but I will never deny you." Oh, no. He's actually going to the cross now. I'm going to keep my distance because I might end up just like him. And what happens then? Worried when Jesus was arrested. He was worried about being identified as a disciple. Remember, he's in the courtyard and people recognize him. They say, "Hey, aren't you the one that cut off my buddy's ear? You were the guy with Jesus, weren't you?" And Peter says, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Nope, don't know the guy, never met him." Because he's worried about what might happen to him. He was a worrier. And even after the resurrection, we see some worry from Peter. In the book of Galatians, Paul talks about how Peter was worried about the Jews that came from Jerusalem while they were in Antioch. He was worried about what the Jews might think if he was seen eating with Gentiles. And Paul had to call him out in front of everyone for it. However, Peter seems to have learned his lesson. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, Peter says this: "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And isn't that this entire passage in Matthew in a nutshell? Cast your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you. So, we see the fruitlessness of worrying. We see how wrong it indeed is. And Jesus tells us, instead of worrying, we're to seek the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you might have to worry about, cast your cares on the Lord. He will provide those things to you. He will take care of you. Your job, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let God worry about the rest. All these things will be added to you. What's the Lord's Prayer? What does Jesus say? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done." Are we to worry about our will, worry about what we might want, worry about our provision? Jesus says, no, worry about the Father's will. Seek after the Father's will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We're not to seek after our own interests, our own desires, but we're to be conformed with what God has commanded us. When we put God's interests first, he guarantees our future needs. God knows what we need in this life. If we look at verse 8 of this chapter, Jesus says this: "Don't be like the Gentiles. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." The believer's life insurance is God guarantees provision to those who are following his will. God will take care of you. God will be with you. There's no one who forsakes his worldly desires to follow Christ who will not in turn be taken care of in this life. What does Jesus say in Luke chapter 18, 29 through 30? He says this: "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left his house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life. God has given us so many things that we take for granted. Instead, we're to not worry. What are God's interests? That we proclaim the gospel, that we grow in our relationship with God. We're to seek after his righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be satisfied. Not a righteousness of our own, but the righteousness of Christ that we're to seek after, that God gives freely. We're to cast our burdens on the Lord because he cares for us, and we're to let tomorrow worry about itself. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God will worry about the things of tomorrow. You concern yourself with his kingdom today. So, in conclusion, worrying, it's the sin of not trusting God. That's ultimately what it boils down to, isn't it? And Jesus is telling us that we should not worry because God is our Father. He'll provide for his children. We shouldn't worry because it's useless. It's not going to do anything for us. We shouldn't worry because it's uncharacteristic of our faith. When we worry, we're living like the world that doesn't know God. And that is not how we are to live. Instead, we should seek the kingdom of God in his righteousness. Our worrying doesn't do anything for us anyway. God will provide for our needs. He will take care of his servants. Our worries about tomorrow take away our joy for today. If we're seeking God's will, we wouldn't worry. If we delight in God's will, we'll never be unhappy. We'll never be unsatisfied. In all things, we should rejoice. And in closing, I'll read Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12. If we turn to Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. I would rather stand in the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he without from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for these promises that you have given us in your word. We thank you for the provision that we have experienced. We thank you for your Son, the ultimate provision. We thank you that we don't need to worry about the things of the world because you have taken care of all things. And we thank you for the eternal life that we have to look forward to with you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.